Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for more than 50 years. And with the repeat customers they have, that means everything. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr back from vacation, blowing off a chance to see the Phillies.
I'm saving my money for the IndyCar race this weekend.
Oh, is that this weekend?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have on a beat writer. We have a beat writer on tomorrow. What? I know you're going to go to the Pocono race. I know.
No, it's all right. It's all right. You got a beat writer.
It's okay. I mean, should I have somebody on from Indy tomorrow or
we,
what?
We are working on that. Yes.
Can we get a good one? I mean, I don't want the dude that finishes last.
Well, yeah, we can probably.
Those are the guys. Those are the guys you keep lining me up.
Those are the guys you want to finish last.
you keep lining us up with the wrong guys.
Actually, we may end up talking with Paul Page once again. But we're working on a couple of different opportunities.
That's fine. He's a winner. Dan Duggan, who is the beat writer for Rutgers football, from the Newark Star Ledger, is going to join us tomorrow to talk about Rutgers entering the Big Ten tomorrow. And David Selig, who's the deputy sports editor and beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, who's also a Maryland graduate, he is going to join us to talk about Maryland's entry into the Big Ten tomorrow. Tomorrow being July 1st is the day that everybody goes in. Rutgers and Maryland officially join the Big Ten tomorrow. Louisville officially joins the ACC tomorrow. New fiscal year, that's why they're all in. So we'll talk to the two of them tomorrow. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, will be on the show tomorrow as well. And then Kevin, on Wednesday or Thursday, will line up the last place driver in the Pocono 500.
I think I could get a hold of them.
I would figure they'd be aching to come on to get any kind of publicity.
Listen, the way things have been going, it might be Marco, so...
If you can get Marco Andretti, I'm all for it.
I'm working on it. It's a 30% chance.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, but that's
it's a busy week for him because it's really close. It's obviously close to home, so he has a lot of appearances going on. So it's like a 30% chance.
And a really nice article today, or it should be yesterday, in the New York Times about Brock Holt, who plays for the Red Sox, who's had a great year with the Red Sox. And the New York Times wrote a great article about him, who started his professional career here in State College. He was with the Spikes in 2009, and eventually the Altoona Kerr, played briefly with the Pirates, and now is... with the Red Sox, he was in the Joel Hanrahan trade. Speaks glowingly of you. Thinks very, you know.
That's great.
They just misspelled your name in the New York Times.
It's that happens.
It doesn't happen to most people. No,
well, you know, there was a football player that pronounced it Kevon.
Really?
Kevon Henry.
Let's see. Well, in fact, speaking of Kevon, Kevin Henry now works for Pocono International Raceway, by the way. That bothers you that I know somebody there.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does, because these are your people.
Doesn't matter. You've got connections all over, not only the state, but all over the country. I'd be surprised if I go somewhere with you where you don't know somebody.
All right, let's get to the NCAA for a moment. We talked about Maryland and Rutgers. We'll get more about their entry in the Big Ten tomorrow. Like I said, the financials on that are really important. for the Big Ten and for Maryland and Rutgers. I mean, Maryland and Rutgers literally are broke in terms of their athletic department programs. Rutgers is really in the red financially. And I give the Maryland people a lot of credit. They didn't say, hey, look, we're going to go to the Big Ten. We love the deal when it comes to research and academics and blah, all this highbrow stuff. No. No ivory tower there. They got up and said, look, we dropped seven sports. We're broke. So eventually, after 6 years of a graduated system that will allow them to eventually share in all the TV money at $44.5 million per school, which is what it should be about the time they get their full share. Right? That will get each of them back on a financial path, which then brings us to the O'Bannon trial in Oakland and the NCAA. The NCAA flat out blew it in this trial. You cannot go into a trial like that. Okay, where the O'Bannon people decided they wanted a judge to decide, they did not want a jury trial. You cannot go into that and do what the NCAA did, which is talk about the ivory tower feel about amateur athletics. You can't do that. And I don't like the fact they keep using the word amateur. The only real amateurs in college sports today are walk-ons. They're the only real amateurs in college sports. They're paying their way to go to school. They get onto a team. Now, once they get onto a team, then, of course, they're involved in everything that goes with it. That's why when they were talking about food, and you know, remember I was down in Dallas when Shabazz Napier was talking about, like, hey, you know, I didn't really, you know, I went hungry several nights. And I looked at him like, are you nuts? You went hungry several nights. Between September 28th and April 7th, you had training table every single night at UConn. I mean, look, the whole world isn't stupid here. But when you have an organization like the NCAA, which had a rule about a bagel being a snack, but if you put cream cheese on it, it's a meal, now you know you've got a huge problem. So now they're going to do 24/7 meals starting August 1st. At the NCAA trial, the O'Bannon trial, I should say, all you have to do is look at the judge and say, we're taking the money and we're pouring it into other sports. Because remember, Title IX, while being a great ideal that everybody agrees with, women playing sports, is an unfunded federal mandate. Well, when you have a unfunded federal mandate, you darn well better come up with the funds to fund the mandate. How do you do that? Well, this is how you do it. The Rose Bowl presented by Vizio. The Discover Orange Bowl. The NCAA basketball tournament on TBS, TNT, True TV, and CBS. 107,000 people in a football stadium to watch Penn State. A television contract in the Big Ten with, in football, Fox, the Big Ten Network, ABC, ESPN. In basketball, with CBS, ESPN, ABC, and the Big Ten Network. Revenue sharing in football. You sell out a game in football, you kick $1 million into the pool. You don't, and go have a mediocre turnout, $650,000. Men's basketball, $65,000 for every sellout, low end $27,000. All put in, divided by 12, everybody gets a cut. Okay? Endowments, Nittany Lion Club memberships, things like that. All this, and corporate partners. When Emmert stumbled over his own tongue trying to talk about why a corporate logo is on the schedule card with a picture of an athlete, he goes, well, I don't really know what to say. You look at him and say, here's the deal. Because the Penn State bookstore is one of our corporate partners, that helps pay for Christian Hackenberg's scholarship. It's okay for the two of them to be on there. Dollars per year, $200 a month, $50 a week over a 10-month span. You give them extra spending money because they can't take a job. But they get to keep all their grant money. Now, some of them, as I've told you, I've talked to several football players, and they have told me that because of the financial condition at home, they have sent their grant money home. Because And for anybody who's filled out a FAFSA, okay, you have to take a quiz. And part of that quiz on the FAFSA is that essentially it tells you in the quiz you have to figure out that you have to pay the money back. But one of the questions is, if you get grant money and it exceeds the total of what you owe, do you have to send the grant money back? The answer is no. You get to keep it. Well, 80% of football and men's basketball players are like the rest of the student body. They need financial aid. They qualify for grant money. Guess what? Guess what? Their tuition pays for all the grant and aid pays for all of it. So they get to keep all the grant money. Now, some of them send it home, and I understand that. Some of them buy an Xbox. Some of them buy a car and have to make payments. It's their choice as to what they want to do with it. But they still get this, a $250 per semester allowance for clothing that must be receipted. Plus, they already get free gear left and right. I mean, do you think basketball players buy their own sneakers? Shorts, T-shirts, warm-ups? I think the football players go out and, you know, the T-shirts, the shorts, the long sleeve, the sweatshirts, everything else, they, you know, everything, that's given to them. And if you go to a bowl game, you don't have that kumbaya moment where they all fly together to the bowl game, play the game, and fly home. Everybody goes home for Christmas break, and based on a distance stipend, you get a check to get you to the bowl game. And if you're smart, you know, several players have told me over the years, take the Orange Bowl, for example. You know how many players carpooled to the Orange Bowl? Why'd they do that? Because they could all keep the stipend money. I mean, do you ever hear anybody else talk about this stuff? Meanwhile, in the O'Bannon case, it's not my fault, Ed, that you're 7 credit hours shy after 5 years at UCLA getting your degree. It's not our fault. Now, did the NCAA overstep by using likenesses in the video game? No question. There's no question. I mean, there's no question they overstepped. And thus, some remuneration should be given to those players. There's no question about that. They overstep so that guys like you can have 12-0 seasons. That was meant to be a shot at you.
I wasn't biting. I wasn't
Sean Carey
biting this time.
Sean Carey's laughing.
I'm sure.
He shouldn't be listening to the show, but he is. let's take a break. Okay? Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage. and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
So during the break, Kevin was whining, moaning, and complaining. What makes the break any different than any other?
Observing.
About Marco. Okay, now we might be able to get Marco Andretti on the show because he's not driving.
That has not happened yet.
I said we might.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that. The fact that he's not driving or is driving has not been official.
Here's the brief. You're going to take him to the Speedway yourself?
I'm going to drive him from Nazareth myself. Here's the brief. He ignored a move over flag in the first race on Saturday in Houston. They black flagged him, fined him, and put him on probation for like three races. He was involved in an incident that was kind of his fault on Sunday. So usually Monday or Tuesday is when IndyCar reviews everything and then makes a decision on fines and things. I just said, wouldn't it be horrible for Pocono if one of the premier drivers who's just down the road from them is not able to drive in the race? You can wake up now. I'm done.
Oh, good.
I just thought it was good to explain what you were talking about.
Great. So today we had a novelty take place in sports.
We did?
Yes. I mean, something that when France beat Nigeria, we finally had one that didn't go to penalty kicks. All right, there we go.
See, I'm fine. I think every game should end in penalty kicks. That's exciting.
Yeah, I know. You got to wait through the first 2 hours and 15 minutes to get to that point.
That's the bad part, yeah.
When the United States plays, I'm watching, I'm interested. And I'm into it. When anybody else plays, I'm on ignore. Not that it's not a great game. It is a great game. It's just... And see, that's soccer in this country has grown. The Northwest Corridor is hot. Vancouver, Seattle, Portland. Kansas City's pretty good. In terms of attendance. Los Angeles. Columbus. But as much as the World Cup giveth, when the World Cup ends, it'll taketh away as well. Because you're going to go back to the Columbus Crew playing the Seattle Sounders. Now, Barclays Premier League has certainly improved soccer viewing in this country, and NBC Sportsnet has picked it up. Okay. That's good. I mean, they've improved. There's no question about that. And the attendance is better. But here's the other part that they're going to run into. While I applaud the NHL for going its own route with NBC Sportsnet, and originally it was Versus. When it originally happened, I said they're making a mistake going away from ESPN. But you know what? They found their own niche. I'm not so sure going to Fox Sports is going to help the World Cup. Because ESPN is going to take this baby and they're going to put it on. It's not going to be on ignore, but there's not going to be the passion for covering it as we've seen. How many times have we watched the U.S. play a friendly on ESPN? How many times do you think you're going to watch the U.S. play a friendly on ESPN now that's going to Fox? I'm just asking. I mean, you may have a better answer than I do.
I personally don't have a better answer. I know what you're saying, though.
I mean, this is a big case where the passion for the front of the jersey means more than the sport.
Well, as I said, I saw people watching it in my travels that I could tell were not soccer fans because they were just watching it for the name on the front of the jersey. They were not soccer fans. They didn't know the sport. They were kind of like me. They were just kind of watching it in passing. It was on, and it had USA, and that was good enough.
What's there to know? The ball goes in. It's worth one. We're done. Okay? I mean, that's...
It is rather simplistic that way. You're right.
I'm saying, we could talk about the penalty kicks and things like that and about, free kicks and so whatever. We could talk corners. I mean, there's certain subtleties to it, no doubt. But the bottom line is the ball goes in the net, it's worth one. You do that more than the other guy, they let you play again.
If you do that a lot, you end up holding up a trophy at the end.
Right. I'm just saying that when the front of the jersey goes away for 3+ years, what will that do to how people feel about it?
Or if the front of the jersey goes away at this time tomorrow, what will people think about the rest of the World Cup?
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr back from vacation. We've already had our first IndyCar moment in a week.
Well, it's a big IndyCar week for around here. You have to give me that. I mean, this is the week. If it's not the Indianapolis 500, that, it's appropriate to talk about IndyCar. Big race, Pocono, Tricky Triangle, Pocono 500. Familiar with it?
800-795-9565. If you'd like to welcome Kevin back, that'd be great. 800-795-9565.
Wow, look at the phones light up now.
Amazing, just the mere mention of your name, and now we have all four lines taken up. 800-795-9565. They missed you. Look, we're in a situation that tomorrow, of course, we're going to have the Maryland-Rutgers. It's the day they're both officially in. And Dan Duggan from NJ.com, he's the beat writer for Rutgers, Newark Star-Ledger, he's going to join us tomorrow, and then David Selig, who's the deputy sports editor of the Baltimore Sun, who's a Maryland grad, by the way, is going to join us tomorrow as well, because tomorrow's the day that they enter the conference. I think they bring with it an excitement for Penn State fans because of proximity, but I think when you go to Ohio State, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, it brings with it a collective, we have to put up with this. I don't think I'm inaccurate in saying that. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Steve.
Dave, it's great to hear from you. I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. And how's your sidekick, Kevin?
I'm doing well. It's a great week for me.
Well, we'll see if you can get up to Bob Buehner.
We'll see if I can catch up to Buehner?
Yeah.
I don't think I can. He's always much better than I am because he's got nothing going on. He's just in retirement kickback mode. He's got it much better than
okay.
I do.
Buehner was brilliant last week. I thought. Didn't you think Buehner was great, Dave?
Well, that's why I asked that question the way I did.
Yes, 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 yes.
I don't disagree.
I got a question for you, Steve.
All right, Dave.
Well, this is totally away from that race car that he likes to push.
Yeah.
It's another different subject, so we'll see how he deals with it. You were saying about corporate sponsors and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But what's the chance, just me speaking, you know, my mind, but that when that sponsorship with Nike comes up, switching to Under Armour?
What, you mean Penn State, which is what? Okay. Obviously, when you sit there at the table, you can obviously negotiate with anybody. Adidas has made a huge push, for example, with a lot of schools. Wisconsin has gone with Adidas. Michigan has gone with Adidas. I believe Notre Dame is now with Adidas. Nike still has the biggest share of the market.
Yeah.
While Penn State does have a long-standing tradition, especially through Joe Paterno and Phil Knight, of being with Nike, that doesn't mean that Penn State can't sit there and make a change, just like going from Coke to Pepsi, Pepsi to Coke, whatever it happens to be. It's the same deal.
Yeah,
I think Nike very much wants to be with Penn State. James Franklin, by the way, has been a Nike guy his whole career, as has Patrick Chambers.
Well, that gives me an answer to my question. I only thought for one reason, to be truthfully honest, that the guy from Under Armour is Maryland grad.
Yes, he is. That's the only thing
I thought with that.
And do you think Penn State fans would love to see those uniforms? No.
No, not particularly.
No.
That's
the connection, though. That's the connection. You're right. He does have the Under Armour deal. Adidas appears to, if you were to pick somebody else,
Adidas
would probably be the one that made a bigger push than even Under Armour has in the market. I believe Bucknell's an Adidas school.
That is correct.
Yeah. But see, I told you it was going to be a total away from his IndyCar racing.
Nothing wrong with that.
Maybe Adidas can sponsor IndyCar.
Oh, maybe, yeah. They could do that.
I have to wait for Verizon to finish up their contract first.
Well, we'll see how that all shakes out, too. Well, I'll
hang up and
listen in.
Dave, great to have you on board, my man.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for taking the phone call.
As always, my friend. 800-795-9565. It's the big Kevin Welcome Home Bash. Everyone's, you know, calls are pouring in.
That's great.
They love you.
Actually, I listened to you and Bob, and boy, I'll tell you what, it was the perfect week to have Bob on, because being able to get the insights that he had on those subjects, especially on the Kane report.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. We would have had Bob on anyway. But also, I wanted to get into the O'Bannon thing as well. Look, the O'Bannon case is, I've had a couple friends in the media say to me, he says, you know, you keep talking about the O'Bannon case. People are not really interested in the O'Bannon case. I said, well, they darn well better be. I said, it's not my job to sit here and play to the mob. I think part of the job is to be informative. I mean, that's an important part, I think, of this job, is to lay out information on the table that gives people a better opportunity to make a judgment one way or the other. And whatever information I have, I feel I'm obligated to put out on the table so that they know. The O'Bannon case is the single most important case that the NCAA has faced ever. Now, does the NCAA have problems? No question. I mean, in fact, are there problems? A long, long list? Yes. Have they handled things wrong? You bet they have. This place shouldn't be on probation. Come on. They didn't even follow their own procedures, for goodness sakes. Supposed to investigate, inform, right to appeal, after appeal, hand down ruling. You know, I mean, where's that part? When did that happen here? Didn't happen at all. What rule was broken? Now, that aside, for anyone who loves the growth of sports on the college level, the growth of women's volleyball, the growth of women's soccer, the growth of men's soccer, the growth of college baseball, okay, the growth of ice hockey, men's and women's in this country, the growth of wrestling in this country. This and the growth of women's basketball. This case means everything to you. It means everything to you if you love those sports. The last one I mentioned, of course, was wrestling. Up and down the valley, how many people up and down the valley, Kevin, you live and talk there with people all the time, love Penn State wrestling.
You see Penn State wrestling shirts almost as much as you see Penn State football shirts, to be quite honest.
And Penn State wrestling is not going away. So let's just put that on the table right away. Penn State wrestling is not going away. All right, so now we've established that. This case is not a threat to Penn State wrestling. What it is a threat to are all the other schools Penn State wrestles. With Boston University dropping the sport this year, there are 76 Division I wrestling programs. Now remember, men's basketball has 353 schools playing Division I men's basketball. Football has 122. I think it's going to go up to 124 this year in FBS. Wrestling is going to have 76. If the O'Bannon case goes through and say the judge says you have to start football and men's basketball players. Now, let's caution here first. No matter what the ruling, it'll be appealed. And then that will be appealed, and eventually this will get to the Supreme Court. All right, so let's explain there's a timeline here. But you're going to have a case where I would guess that every Big Ten school would keep wrestling. Who else would?
Well, you'd Edinburghs and a couple of the Ivies, but...
Yeah, exactly.
After that...
If you have to pay football and men's basketball players, what sports do you have to now drop? Because there's only so much money to go around. The money is not being stashed in a Grand Cayman's account. Well, I mean, for Penn State as an athletic department, you know what? If they were over 96,000 last year per game. You know how important that was? Because 96,000 was like the break-even level.
Well, Steve, look at a university like Edinburgh. All right, there's an outstanding wrestling program. But they're not going to be able to take that wrestling program and make enough money for every single program, let alone now to be able to pay athletes at that. What's going to happen to colleges like that and their programs?
Kevin, they don't make any money.
That's my point.
They don't make any money. Nobody makes money off wrestling. Not one program in this country makes money off of wrestling. Zero. Zip, zilch, nada. Here, blank sheet of paper. That's the entire list. Penn State sells out every dual meet at Rec Hall. They sell every dual meet out. Awesome program, awesome fan base. And properly priced, by the way. Smart. Don't exceed your limit. Penn State's been very smart about this. They still lose about a little bit more than $1 million a year. So wrestling is dependent on other money brought in. See, this free market, pay the football men's basketball players. You can't do it under this model. You're going to have to drop sports. Now, which ones do you drop? Well, you can't drop too many women's sports, and here's the reason why. Title IX is an unfunded federal mandate. You must have it. And not only that, if you pay football and men's basketball players, under Title IX, you have to pay female athletes. Now, how many sports do you have to drop? Like I said, Penn State's not going to drop wrestling. But the number of other schools across the country, they're going to flush that down the drain in a hurry because guess what? There's no female component for it. I mean, it's a bad recipe that the NCAA needs to solve. And what they did at the trial was an embarrassment. You don't sit in the and do an ivory tower examination of it. You don't do that. Well, amateurism and the amateur model and blah, blah. Oh, come on. Just tell her the numbers. Right? Tell her that this is where the money goes. Here, 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 and here. Okay, we're done. And not only that, the scholarship is worth this. The housing's worth this. The food's worth this. I mean, starting August 1st, every athletic department is going to take a big hit just on food. Because the last time I know of there being free food, it was with five loaves and a couple of fish. All right, let's go to Doug in Wellsboro. Hi, Doug.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well, Kevin's back, so obviously he's exponentially happy.
Hey, Kevin's the reason I called in. I missed him. I wanted him back.
See, thanks. See, now Doug gets in a lot quicker now. Did you see how he worked that? Nicely done.
Doug.
I
love it, Doug.
Thanks for moving me to the front of the line, Kevin.
Every time you're in the front of the line now, brother.
Hey, Steve, you kind of just addressed what my question was. In all this discussion with the Bannon case and things like that, Title IX has never jived with this. Title IX is going to have a direct impact if this O'Bannon thing wins. The O'Bannon case, does it directly just affect revenue-making sports or men's sports, or is it across the board all sports?
Well, that's a great question, and that's up to the judge to decide because, you know, the Big Ten presidents and chancellors put out a letter last week. I don't know if you saw it or you heard me talk about it, Doug, one or the other. But to their credit, they actually mentioned all of this. And I'm thinking to myself, well, where were these guys when it came time for the trial? And I think it's going to be up to the judge as to how far this goes. But I think logic tells you that if those who are advocates and proponents of Title IX will not bend on the football numbers in terms of percentages, then if they find out that football and men's basketball players are being paid, they're going to demand that female athletes be paid too. That's my guess. And they would go to court over it.
How in the world will they ever administer something like that?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I've actually, a guy called the show last week and advocated using the free market to determine the worth of somebody as to how much Christian Hackenberg is worth versus, like, say, Derek Dowry. Well, guess what? Hackenberg can't complete a pass if Dowry lays down and let the dude run through. So, I mean, it's, you know, to me, they're already, you know, everybody makes choices in life. To me, give athletes a choice at 18. Do you want to go to the pros or do you want to go to college? If you go to the pros, good luck. You'll probably get crushed. If you're a basketball player, you might actually be able to pull a Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, LeBron James, and make it there. But if you decide to go to college, I'm going to give you a guaranteed four-year scholarship regardless. And in football, you have to give me 3 years, which is the current NFL rule. And if it's college basketball, I'm going to give you a four-year scholarship, and you have to guarantee me you're going to be there for 2 years before you decide whether or not to go to the draft. All right? And then, to me, you make choices. I mean, you know, you do have a choice now. If you want to train to go to play football, you could go to IMG for the next 4 years, 3 years, and then go. But you'd have to pay for it instead of the free training you get at Penn State, the free weight room, the free food, and the free housing, and the free coaching, and the free film work, and things like that.
No, I understand what you're saying. I saw what the Big Ten presidents put out. To me, they were just, I think they just put something out there just to basically cover themselves. It really did make no difference one way or the other what they put out. And, hey, one other thing, I really did enjoy last week having Bob on and covering all that, the legal issues and things like that. It was really informative, and I'd like you to have him back on more if you could.
Yeah, Bob's an invaluable resource, Doug, because he has the ability. This is what I always liked about Wayne Sebastianelli. Wayne Sebastianelli could always explain something medically in terms everybody could understand. Bob can explain legalese in terms everybody can understand.
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys, and nice to have you back, Kevin. Hey,
thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I could have done without the ending there, Doug. No, I'm just kidding.
I was fine with it, Doug. I thought it was a great ending. That's the way you should end the call.
Doug is the best. But Doug is right. The one area I will disagree with Doug. Doug is correct that they put out this grandiose thing from the Big Ten about whatever. But if you read it, I agree with what the direction they want to go in. 4-year scholarships. Should be a 4-year scholarship. You know, and I hate using this word, all right, but it's the only way I can think of phrasing it. If I make a mistake in recruiting you, it's my mistake, not yours.
Yeah, you shouldn't be punished for the fact that I didn't think that I thought you were a better player than you were.
The only way a scholarship should be revoked is if you academically are not getting it done or you're a disciplinary problem. And disciplinary problems are obviously pointed out. Everybody knows what a disciplinary problem is. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're saying in the break, Penn State baseball, I talked to Rob Cooper the other day, and Rob called into the show, and he was saying, when Rob was on the show, he said, we're allowed 11.7 baseball scholarships. He said, I have 27 players dividing up those 11.7 scholarships. He says, I do not have a full scholarship player on my roster. Wrestling has 9.9 scholarships to divvy up. Last time I checked, there were 10 spots. They have 9.9 scholarships. Now, you can probably give, depending on the school, a half scholarship to somebody. And if they qualify, grant money should be able to make up for the rest of it. Should. Not always, but should. But in this football and men's basketball, look at all these games on TV deals. First of all, the players are the players do not complain about what they have. They don't. Okay? Their school is taken care of. Tens of thousands of dollars in education that other parents have to pay for. Housing, they get that. Books, they get that. Now they're going to have 24/7 meals. $250 allowance each semester, which has to be receipted for clothing. As for gear, shorts, socks, shirts, sweatshirts, sweatsuits. Gloves. Basketball players, sneakers. They have lots of gear. Look, and these guys don't complain about it. And they understand, and they support other athletes on campus tremendously.